Hey everybody, welcome to Galacticus, your purple planet-eating pop culture podcast. On this very special episode, we're going to put a large emphasis on the eating part of our tagline. The topic today is one that's very near and dear to our hearts and stomachs, and one that we've been looking forward to devouring for months now. In a word, sandwiches. I'm John Make Me a Sandwich Mahaly, and with me are my partners in podcasting, Scott Whitebread Brown.
That's true. The whiter the better. Yikes.
Getting saucy. And of course, James Grindercore Kettner.
Good one.
Guys, I can't believe this is happening. We're going to be talking about one of the greatest subjects ever. It's finally here. What a day.
I think this is the breakthrough.
Oh, what a lovely
episode.
Day.
This is going to just like break Galacticus wide open to the mainstream and sponsor.
Are you going
to
roll
in?
Are we going to Facebook
boost
this?
People are
going to
look back on this,
this
episode.
Yeah.
Next episode of Galacticus brought to you by Subway, by Boar's Head.
Ooh. But hey, no. eat fresh.
I'm
eat
going fresh. Jersey. That's I'm a Jersey Mike man.
Oh, yeah.
So do we want to give background on this? Because this has been definitely, we talked a little bit about how our approach to Galacticus has evolved, that we're doing it in seasons. And when this idea came up, this was the one that we were like, holy shit, this is going to be the best episode of this season of Galacticus. So this is the peak. It's all downhill from here.
We're officially at the midway point of season three. So we thought now would be a good time to sort of slide this episode in there. Just sort of a little break from the norm. But I think you guys are going to enjoy it.
So take us into it. So is it possible to be a sandwich nerd? And if so, are you a sandwich nerd, John?
Ooh, I call myself a sandwich enthusiast.
Enthusiast, right, yeah.
I'm very enthusiastic about it. I'm not so much a nerd because I'm not so into every little technical part of it.
Yeah, or like the you're not a sandwich collector going around the world trying to find, trying them all out.
I know what I like, and when I see it, I know what I'm going to eat.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Okay, so let's get into this topic. What is what's your perfect sandwich, John?
Wow.
Sorry, bring out the big guns early.
Put me on the spot already. I will advocate at all times for a classic chicken parmesan or chicken parm wedge. And when I say the word wedge, apparently this is a very Westchester, New York term. And something that really comes up in the battle of sandwich politics is what do you call a sandwich? It's a regional debate that gets a lot of people riled up, even more so than like soda versus pop. Mm. So apparently from where we grew up, like a wedge is kind of used for sort of a hot sandwich that you would get at a pizza shop or a deli, usually a chicken parm or a meatball wedge, because it's wedge bread, as we call it. You might know it more as a hoagie. In the city, it's a hero. But a chicken parm hero done just right always hits the spot.
My buddy David Wolf, who's also from Westchester, he said that he heard that the wedge is named as such because when it's cut in half, it's spread, and it creates, so like the presentation is generally like the two pieces coming together to create like a wedge shape because they're cut in half and then turned to the side a little bit to get the spread going. Whether that's true or not is at least an explanation.
I'm going to say it's true because I like it.
Yeah, and also I like if anyone's going to add some legitimacy to the wedge term, I'm all behind that. But I remember the first wedge I had was at Terry Lodge. Back before it got bought by Mario Batali and turned into like kind of a high-end Italian eatery, it was in Porchester, New York, which according to some people...
You mean Saw Pit?
It's good old Saw Pit. Porchester, New York, known as the best restaurants in Greenwich to assholes. they had like, there's this kind of fancy restaurant called Terry Lodge, bought by Mario Batali, named after, and my family used to know the owners of the old Terry Lodge, and it was like a classic... Northeastern Italian like family restaurant where your whole family can go out and like eat meals for like you know, $40 in the '80s. And so they used to have this, this steak and cheese wedge, that was just outstanding. It was just like pieces of good steak, like melted American cheese, some onions. And like, it basically, turned me on to Philly cheesesteaks before I knew that I loved Philly cheesesteaks, which is my answer. If my favorite sandwich is Philly cheesesteaks, like, I will eat a Philly cheesesteak. I'll eat a mediocre Philly cheesesteak outside of Philly versus any other sandwich I can think of any day of the week.
Whoa.
So that's one of my, like, I can't get enough of the combination of melted whiz or in some places American cheese over some kind of sliced beef concoction with, right on some kind of that Italian bread, a little crispy, with onions, without, either way, I'm all in.
Scott, let me ask you, what's the best Philly cheesesteak you've had outside of Philadelphia?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I feel like they're all like kind of tied. You know what? I think the one I got at the Uncle Gussie's truck near my work, it's like a Greek food truck. It's really good. They have excellent Greek salad. But the other, like, one time I said, I'm going to get a Philly cheesesteak, and they said, do you want like the big one or the little one? And I was like, of course I want the big one. And honestly, it was like 3 foot long, like a piece of Italian bread and like the Philly cheesesteak throughout the whole thing. And everyone was like, oh, I didn't know that going to be that big. And people were laughing at me. And they said like, wow, that's going to be like two meals for you. And I was like, you fools. You have no idea.
Here's a lesson for all your readers out there and your listeners out there. Don't laugh at Scott Brown, because he will make a fool out of you for that.
Stomach.
Yeah, that when it comes to like appetite or like whether or not.
I probably made like a discernible dent into my life expectancy with that sandwich, and I regret nothing because a life without that sandwich
totally worth
is
it.
Not worth living. Damn it. So it was a hell of a sandwich. And what's your favorite? What's the best Philly? You went to school near Philly, and Kettner, you lived in Philly for a while. I'm not going to go off on too much of a cheesesteak jag. It's on topic still, but we'll let's get to it.
Totally on topic.
You guys have spent a lot of time in one of the greater American cities for sandwiches, and has a signature sandwich in and of itself. So, what's the best one in Philly? What's regarded as the best one in Philly, and what's your favorite in Philly?
To me, it always comes down to a Pat's versus Geno's debate, and now I know there's other places there that I think the more sandwich nerd will point to as being the ideal mm-hmm. cheesesteaks, but I've always been a Pat's man, mm-hmm. And I think that's a thing that you make a choice, or someone brings you to one, and that's the one you go to. So my group of friends were like, you're going to Pat's. Pat's is the one.
John,
to go
you're
to.
Gonna,
so I've been a Pat.
You're
going to
be Pat's
man.
Because you're classy. Because you're not.
I forgot. Geno's also has a very disreputable history of, let's say, work practices.
Sure, racism, homophobia.
Yeah.
Just and also just being gaudy and obnoxious and terrible.
We won't be taking any advertising dollars from Geno's on this show. Let's just say that.
I have a whole sidebar about how once me and my friends prank called both Pat's and Geno's, and it was glorious. It was pretty great. It was mostly Geno's. We got them good.
I like the idea of you saving that sandwich story for like a different sandwich podcast. Like, I'll say, like, I can't get into it right now. We got too much to talk about in the world of sandwiches.
Well, I just don't want to emphasize too much on just the cheesesteaks. It is a good story. Like, I feel like if we ever do like a
sandwich pranking should be its own episode.
That's a good point. I'm a terrible pranker. And I'm going to say Geno's might not be the best cheesesteak, but it is featured, I believe, in the Motown Philly video, which is one of the thing that came to mind when I went there for the first time. But I'm a Pat's man myself, so I'll go with you.
So Boys to Men basically give that place 8 thumbs up.
By the time so I gotta say, so by the time I lived in Philly, I was already vegan. So my recommendations on that are gonna be for vegetarian cheesesteak places, and you gotta go Govinda's. Govinda's was like a Krishna restaurant on Broad Street. And their chicken cheesesteak was my favorite. That was Ooh. That was the good one. So, but when I ate meat, my old school and Scott, I know that you're familiar with the sandwich, was the Philly cheesesteak from the Mug and Ale, and that was my first exposure to the cheesesteak phenomenon, and it is a good one.
What's your favorite sandwich, Kat?
My favorite style of sandwich. Okay, so I don't have like a one to go to, but it's almost like with cheesesteaks, it's like a genre, and I'm gonna say I don't get to eat this style of sandwich very often, but when I do, it is my favorite fucking thing. Do you guys know about Fat Cats? Fat Cats, it is a style of sandwich, and it is mostly popularized by, basically I was introduced to it through going to shows in New Brunswick, but it's basically a bunch of grease trucks, and they make sandwiches that, their main feature is that they include French fries. So if you have a big old sandwich where French fries are a prominent feature of the sandwich filling, I am on cloud fucking nine. And that goes for so many foods. If French fries are included, just give me like a salty starch like injected into whatever sandwich it is, and it is the best. So a Fat Cat sandwich is my favorite sandwich.
I like that. You know what they call it when you put French fries in a sandwich in England?
What's that?
They call that a chip buddy.
Oh shit. That is
So isn't that
That made my fucking day. Yeah, why isn't that like an awesome animated fucking like character? Oh, that's Chip Buddy.
Yeah. Chip Buddy, man. So that's what that's to eat when you're in the UK. Get yourself a Chip Buddy on me.
Oh, dude. Oh, shit.
Well, maybe this brings us into another good sandwich topic, which is toppings. You know, that's a lot of controversy there as well.
Are you guys mayo guys? You guys mustard guys?
That's a great question. People are very divided about mayo. Like, some people are just completely grossed out by it and can't be near it, and don't want anything to do with it. And if it touches their food, they will send that food back.
My very good friend Vanessa is like anti-mayo, but pro ranch because she's from California, so she like has to like ranch, I think. But like, you know, but like is disgusted by the thought of mayo, like, you know, and coleslaw and stuff like that, like creeps her out. So for me, I like mayo. I think mayo is absolutely delicious, and I think that it's a good thing to have on most sandwiches. I'm gonna
agree with that. I feel like a little mayo goes a long way, but specifically on a sandwich, and like too much isn't good, but just enough is right there. And then I don't know what I would use mayo in otherwise.
I'm gonna get real here, guys. When I was, I'm gonna say 12 years old, I had high cholesterol. Mm-hmm. And because for a summer, I basically ate like could be a segue to a later topic. I had a hamburger sandwich every single fucking day with mayo on my fries.
Whoa.
I was all about it. But even at this time, I hate eggs, and I didn't even know that mayonnaise was eggs. It weird, like
that
revelation blew my mind.
Did you fall down when you found that out? Like, did you have to steady yourself against the wall?
I had like a fucking spit take of like, what? Like, how? Why?
Mrs. Mulvey had this information when you're in grammar school, she would have gotten you to eat those fucking eggs that she could have thrown your logic back at you.
Oh my god. That was a deep cut there, Scott.
That's a deep cut. Go for the pain index early and often. eat the fucking eggs.
But anyway, I did not care for eggs. Anyway, but pro mayo, I stopped eating mayonnaise. I was vegetarian in 96, but when Veganaise came out, and basically it's a vegan mayonnaise product. And when it became popular, I want to say like 5 years ago, it was like, oh my god, I get to put mayonnaise on everything again, and it is glorious. And it is the secret ingredient to every good vegan sandwich. Veganaise with cock sauce. With
sriracha.
Why am I blanking? Sriracha. Yeah. Like, that is an ultimate combo. It is two tastes that go great together on every sandwich.
I'm a big fan of the hot sauce ketchup mayo combination. It's kind of like a
the fancy sauce.
It's kind of Nina has the best fry dipping sauce prep for that, and it's we usually go with Valentina sauce, but yeah, I like sriracha too. But I think that but mustard. How about where are we on the mustard game? Because that's the kind of like the alternative. This is the Coke versus Pepsi conversation.
I was very pro mustard, but it has diminished. It has fallen in my eyes. It was a prominent condiment throughout my childhood and teen years.
I'll say this: I'm the exact opposite. I had a relatively mustard-free childhood instead of teen years. But now mustard is like a prime time player for me. And I will mustard and mayo a sandwich.
The question is: Are you guys? Would you guys consider yourselves two jar slaves?
Yes.
Wow. Can you define what that means?
Oh my god. Yeah.
That is the Mr. Show skit where like they talk
Vonnie's.
About the mayo mustard combination, and it has like a super dramatic commercial where it's like, are you a two jar slave? And they're like, they show people working in this like, you know, like this mine, like kind of like this horrible factory, and then a guy comes in dressed in a yellow and white like Uncle Sam costume, and like let's
with a
get
machine
the
gun.
Hell out of here!
He has an M16, and he fucking Kool Aid Mans into the
it's
factory.
It's worth it. It's a good Mr. Show reference, but it is a it's before, remember the Dijonnaise craze of the like mid 90s, mm-hmm. where it's like the idea of combining mayo and mustard into one thing, and so I don't think you're alone in like this, since they made a product that does that very thing. I think Hellman's made Dijonnaise for like those who want mayo and mustard in one container.
It is specifically Dijon mustard, like Grey Poupon and like Vegenaise is good, but like you would never do that with yellow mustard. That would be weird.
No,
I like a brown mustard.
No.
I like when there's some texture to it. I like flavored mustard, like I like horseradish mustard. I think there's like a strong mustard game you can bring, and it really makes sandwiches better. I go with mustard generally. Mustard is better for like, for me, it's for like ham and kind of pastrami and kind of like the saltier cured meats. And I go mayo for almost everything else, including like poultry. I mean, like mayo's good on ham, but like I want like a punctuation of like, you know, of most, you know, German or Jewish deli kind of, that's a great compliment. And the heartier and seedier, the better.
When I think about mustard, I immediately think of rye bread. And that's a whole other end of this game here. The sandwich game is we got to talk breads. And
absolutely.
Growing up in New York, it's like, I have an appreciation for a rye bread that I don't know if people here love that.
You guys like how about like Cat's Deli styles, like the very thin rye breads with like a metric ass ton of meat in the middle. Like, I feel like that's like a very distinctive New York sandwich.
That's
that might
New York
be like
deli sandwich,
the most distinctive New York thing in terms of the sandwich game.
I've always found that to be just sort of an obscene joke. Those sandwiches
getting your mouth
where it's just
them.
Like what? Or just it's just like that's so much, and it's so much like of the worst meats, like the very worst meats you can be eating. Are going on those sandwiches.
Is that a pun? Like, because...
Because
that's pretty good.
It is now.
It's also... I love those meats, but, like, I think, you know, it's, like, the idea of, like, that sandwich is just, like, you basically have to take off half of it and then eat it separately as, like, you know, and dip that into your mustard and you're good to go.
But yeah, it's funny because we're all from the Northeast, and I feel like the Northeast is a very sandwich-centric kind of zone. And bread obviously is to me the most important part of the sandwich. I think the bread is what makes or breaks a sandwich.
It's a defining feature.
It is, and I feel like if I have at least good bread, the rest of the sandwich will be okay.
Yeah.
I put a lot of faith in that bread.
Bread, a little bread goes a long way. Energon, like.
it is not made from Soundwave's chest, and it is not in cube form.
But it's as delicious. I like it the way that Sharkticons like Energon. See? I'm bringing back the nerd, and it's we're all
there. You go.
All
for
it. But
pain index rising.
I think What's your favorite bread then? Like, if you like good bread, like what do you look for? Like, in terms of, or does it just really depend on the sandwich? But like, what, like if you had to make your ideal sandwich, we talked about earlier, like the perfect sandwich, like tell me about the perfect bread.
Ooh, I mean, like you said, it depends on what's going inside there. You know, you wouldn't, as much as I like a chicken parm, I'm not putting that on a nice ciabatta bread. No, that's just not happening. I think, you know, especially for a sandwich like a cheesesteak, it's the proper ratio of crunch to chew.
Yeah.
So you're just getting, like, you bite in, you get that crunchy crispness, and then it goes into a bit of a softness, and then it gets into that meat, and that's what you want.
Too soft better than too hard. Like, there's nothing worse than, like, being excited about a sandwich and getting, like, a really, like, pretty stale, or just, like, you know, like, just, it all crumbles in your hand as you bite into it. That's, like, the worst. You want the sound of the crunch, but it all holds together and has a chew to it.
My default answer would be sourdough. That's the standard answer. That's like that's just most of anything. It's the most easy to find vegan bread. Like pretty much every sourdough bread is vegan, so I don't have to like look at ingredients. But it's a good standard. But the whole question just reminded me of an old sandwich crush. So back in the day in New York, I'm sure. At some point, I've dragged each of you guys to Kate's Joint. Did you guys ever go to Kate's Joint with me? It used to be one of my regular spots.
Yeah, probably.
But it was like a vegetarian, diner style in Lower East Side. And I had a crush on this waitress, Kate. And she was Kate Newbie from New Zealand. And I would always get the same order, but it was always like a southern fried tofu cutlet sandwich. And she'd always be like, what kind of bread would you like? And I'd be like, oh, that's such a wonderful question to answer. And it was focaccia bread was the best bread for that sandwich through trial and error with a side of gravy for dipping. Oh, yeah.
I think the best bread for me is like a Italian, like a good, like Italian wedge bread, but like sesame, which I always appreciate the texture. Like, and I think that brings a lot to the game. Way more than Poppy. I'm never a big Poppy fan, but sesame can do no wrong. I'm not mad at Poppy. I'm just doesn't do much for me. But
what do you guys think about the banh mi?
Ooh, love a banh mi.
Love the banh mi.
Yeah. Love the banh mi.
It's a very specific, right? Like that bread is very integral to the banh mi. Can't put
the banh mi like that's when you said like the right bread can make or break a sandwich. I didn't even know. I wasn't even sure what I was thinking of, but I thought about the feeling of biting into a well-made banh mi sandwich, and that brought me right there.
When I was first introduced to them at one of my older jobs, we used to refer to them as nam witches. So we'd be like, we're doing a nam witch run,
guys.
We're leaving we will leave no nam witch behind.
This was the banh mi was like the West Philly punk like food hack, because there was a deli where they were so cheap. They were like this so cheap vegan sandwich, and it was like, okay, so for so long, there's two regular food stuffs that like nourished, and I'm going to say, use the word nourished in very loose terms, but nourished the Philadelphia, West Philly punk scene. And one of them was Lucky's, which is a garbage Chinese store, like garbagey, like fried tofu kind of stuff. And then there was the banh mi sandwiches. And you could get like two for, I think they were like $3 each. So you get like two for $6. And then I used to get a pack of like, of Fritos, of like the curly, the twisty Frito thing. Why am I not like the Fritos curls or whatever? And you stuff those in the sandwich. And that's a dinner right there. That's a meal. That's a meal for $7.50.
Is that like a Dipsy Doodle?
Ooh. We could circle back to Kett's French fries on a sandwich, potato chips on a sandwich.
Yes, well, that's just anything. The crunch, the texture is
exactly.
Yeah, that's a nice way you got to bring it up. That's why
it's that burst of saltiness too.
Which is why bacon is really good is so popular on sandwiches too. I think the bacon BLTs and club sandwiches are purely mechanisms for bacon delivery.
In but the bacon has to be done just so on the sandwich, because you have to be able to
bacon, because you want the crunch. I don't want there's nothing worse than like taking a bite and getting like chewy bacon.
Well, like the whole piece of bacon comes out in one bite.
Yeah, no good. No dice.
I have memories of that from when I eat meat of like deli sandwiches where it's like, oh, you don't want chewy fatty bacon on a sandwich.
No,
bad news.
I have a soft spot for the bodega sandwich. You guys ever partake? Where like you're kind of in the mood for a sandwich and you like stop by the bodega and they have like a deli counter and like, but they're it's like you get some ham or and like some whatever like piece of like yellow American cheese they have. There used to be a place that I would get sandwiches almost every week when I went to Noah and Michelle's to game on like on, and I'd get off the train, I'd go down to Sabao and get me a sandwich. And one time I remember waiting for my sandwich dutifully, and I saw like the like a foot and a half long like street rat walk across the floor of that bodega and like go into a hole under the counter like it owned the place. And I was like, I'm never eating a sandwich here again. And then I believe the next week I ate another sandwich and continued to because, you know, maybe he worked there. I don't know.
That's sandwich loyalty right there.
Yeah, he's a Nim. Maybe he's one of those Nim rats. He was holding a spear, I believe, and was threatening others. It was pretty cool. That would be Brutus, I believe, from the Mrs. Brisby and the Rats of Nim, or the Secret of Nim. But we'll save that for the Nim episode.
God damn it. Yes, I didn't partake of too many bodega sandwiches, but I am familiar. I mean, that's like, you could get like anything, really.
A certain like charm to it.
It was like a DIY, like, oh, yeah, sure, like, whatever you have. It's just a little bit of a kind of, like, a dag. You can make, like, a Dagwood sandwich. It's just like, oh, like, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you can piece together a sandwich.
I like that sandwich is my love of the underrated, and no one's first choice, but no, very few people's last, the hard roll or Kaiser roll is a good bread for sandwich, not just because it's perfectly fine, but it's, like, the good... It creates a good sized sandwich. Like it's a reasonable amount of food to get. And I'll take a Kaiser roll over a piece of like, you know, sliced bread any day of the week. Cause like sliced bread is only in rare occasions. Is it my go-to bread sandwich? Like I'll take a roll over bread most of any, almost versus any day. And that includes rye bread. Like rye bread's fine, but it's not my, you know, like sliced bread. I don't love, I love like having a little crust. I like having like some firmness on the outside, and so the mushiness of like most sliced bread doesn't add much for me in the sandwich department. Maybe toasted.
The Kaiser roll is the preeminent breakfast sandwich roll.
Oh, excellent. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where I like a bacon, egg, and cheese is a great hangover cure. It's easy. Every deli and bodega will make it for you and make it quickly. Like it's always at the ready.
On Sunday,
I could have used one of those on Sunday.
Yeah, I certainly could have used one.
I was in bad shape on Sunday.
I woke up early and then I ended up going to bed at like 7. I fell asleep on the couch at like 7 o'clock and like never fully got up again after that.
I realized because of the daylight savings time, it was 4 p.m. when I got home. And I'm an old man, so like that's pretty late.
Are you gonna give listeners some background? So this is after your fiesta.
We were out on.
You mean 4 a.m. right? Because that'd be a really long day if you went until 4
p.m. No, 4 a.m. Okay. This past Saturday, potential sponsor hoping. We went to Gotham Archery. And Scott was in attendance, as well as some other colleagues of ours. And we shot arrows, and no one looked more arrow ready than Scott Brown.
If only I could shoot as well as I looked with a bow in my hand, because I was probably the worst shot there. In my defense, I think there was something wrong with my bow, and what was wrong with it was that I was shooting it.
You were better at arrows than you were at knife throwing.
I have video of you
knife throwing, and I sent it to you.
I was getting the mechanic. You sent it to me. My mechanics were strong. I was too close.
I know it's not as easy as it looks, and it takes a while to get a little feel for throwing knives.
And plus, you got a couple bad ones in a row. I got some in a row at some point. He put me at a bad distance. It's all Chris's fault. I blame Chris. Just kidding, Chris. Gotham Archery.
Chris was pretty awesome to bring that out because none of us took the safety class for it either.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I saw it when I was like, wait a second, I want to do that. So we did that. Yeah, that was awesome. But I have like these horrible bruises on my arm right here. I don't know if you can see them. That's from the bowstring.
Damn, dude.
It turns out that because of I've got hyperextended elbows and big forearms, my own arm is a target for the bowstring, and it slapped into my arm a few times until I got some correction. Even then, every time they watch me, they're like, you move that arm out of the way, man, because turns out I'm not a natural archer.
You have to imagine that since Amel is pretty jacked, that would happen to him all the time.
It must be happening to him all the time.
That was going to be my question, was like, did you find some newfound understanding, compassion for Renner and Amel?
Yes, I think we did.
Actually, totally did.
How quickly either them or their stunt doubles are able to get an arrow from their back to the bow. Yeah. Which is like
their draw has always been impressive to me, but just even trying it it's pretty incredible. I am going to be watching Arrow more closely just to see like what form he uses, because I talked to Chris a lot about it. It was just like the different, you know, different ways to hold the string, different ways to hold the bow, different shooting styles that I became suddenly aware of. Like, oh, that's pretty cool. But yeah, I'm definitely it's been 2 days, and all I can think about more than sandwiches is going back and shooting some arrows. And in my defense, I've fired more arrows than I've eaten sandwiches since that time. I haven't had a sandwich since arrows.
Well, we needed to clear our sandwich palate for this episode. Yeah. Like, we didn't want to be bogged down by the most recent sandwich kind of creeping into our conversation. So yeah, it's good. It's good,
like,
that we,
yeah, I didn't want to be swayed.
I'm just the opposite, guys. Like, I took the fact that we were doing a sandwich episode since last week. My sandwich consumption has skyrocketed. I've eaten so many sandwiches this week. One that was definitely to my detriment, the one that I sent you guys a picture of, from one of my regular drawing spots, Sweet Pea, Coffee and Bakery. It's called the Pea Cole. It's basically like a, it's kind of like a hot, like steak melt. It's almost like, it's like a melty sandwich on a roll, but it also has like a layer of like tofu crumble spread. So it's almost like having like an egg salad layer and like a steak layer and a cheesy layer. Oof. And it hurt me. It's like a delicious food that like, I'm like, oh, have immediate regret. Yeah, I've been eating a lot of sandwiches this week. I just used the fact that we were recording. I ate and again, questionable whether or not this counts as a sandwich, but I had a falafel sandwich from Wolf and Bears, my favorite lunch spot in Portland, Oregon. And I've been making use of, this is the thing I do a lot. I'm a big fan of melty sandwiches. And if I make a sandwich at home and I no longer own a Foreman grill, I had to abandon it when I moved west. It didn't come with me in the move. But Lacey has a waffle iron, so now I make melty sandwiches in a waffle iron. So nice. that is like, wow. I make a tofurkey and daya cheese melt sandwich pretty consistently with sriracha for dipping. That is a taste sensation.
Is there a sandwich you guys don't like? I know, Ketner, you're vegan, so. But you've got history. Like, is there a thing where you're like, oh, I never got into like that common?
Yeah, specifically the sandwich you guys were just talking about—a breakfast sandwich. Oh man, that sounds so gross to me. And when I worked for a while in Philly, I worked at the backstock department at American Apparel, and getting an egg sandwich was like a really popular and cheap food because all the food carts in Center City Philly had them. And so all of the other staff would be eating these like egg and ketchup smelling sandwiches that just like made me want to gag. I used to like go to hide in the back of the back stock room just to like not smell them. That I gotta put that at the bottom rung. And I've never eaten one. I'm just saying. No offense if that's your jam.
How about egg salad, Ketner? Are you against that too?
Oh, I'm so against that. That is another like offensively smelling.
I'm with Ket on that one. I like eggs, but I do not like egg salad.
I didn't think I liked egg salad, but I've come around on it in my adulthood.
There's nothing more of an abomination than an egg salad sandwich, which is basically a fart sandwich.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's a horrible sandwich. But not, you know, I'll say what sandwich I'm not into. The Reuben. I am not a Reuben guy. You know, it's like I'm not a big fan of corned beef or even pastrami or anything like that. I don't like sauerkraut. And the Russian dressing is just, ugh.
I love all those things.
Yeah.
I'm like a big fan.
See, it's funny how, like what we like. Yeah. And it's so diverse.
I agree with you. The Reuben's never my number one because, like, some people, like, love them and they see them on a menu and want to get them. Like, I've had some good Reubens and I like them. Corned beef, I have like a, I don't hate corned beef, but like sometimes like I'm, sometimes I don't want it at all. And sometimes I'm like super in a mood for corned beef and like yeah. need to have it. And I love pastrami. Like I love, like that's like, I like those Katz's deli just cause I love like that style of cured meats.
Here's a question. Will you be seeking out corned beef later this week?
Yeah, probably will.
I think corned beef corned beef sales increase 10,000-fold on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I like corned beef. I didn't like it when I was a kid, but I've started to really just like I grew an appreciation for kind of like that flavor profile.
flavor profile.
Like the, the salty like briny. Types of cold cuts, like I've really grown into them in my adulthood, and sometimes it's like it's rare, but like sometimes like exactly what I want to have, and I'll go crazy for it. So
here's what I'll say about a Reuben, because I made this observation the other night. We had folks over, and our friend Stacy brought over some cream sodas, and someone was like, "Oh, cream soda, gross!" And it's like, you know, cream soda is good, but you're never gonna have more than one of them, right? Like I feel like a Reuben is like every once in a while. It hits the spot, but you're not going to the next day order that again. Yeah. It's going to be like a few months, and then you'll be like, oh, Reuben's.
Week of Reubens, or like every day for lunch, like some people eat like a ham sandwich, but like very few people are eating Reubens day in, day out. Like,
no, it's not sustainable.
That's a rough one. I like, what's your favorite, like, do you guys have any like distinct memories of like signature sandwiches from places that like, even if the sandwich wasn't amazing, like you'd have like a really good appreciation for it? Like I think of one that I think of the sandwich at least once a month is the Balboa from the Sports Page.
Oh, dude!
Oh man,
the Sports Page. Oh goddamn, that was a good sandwich.
That was a fine sandwich.
Right?
That was
It was like melted Swiss in like steak strips. It was like, but it wasn't like a Philly cheesesteak because it wasn't like thin slices. It was like really chunky. Yeah. It was a hearty. It was when people talk about stick to your ribs food, it's like that. It's like if you were like trying to get ready for winter, you should eat a few of those sandwiches.
I feel like I'm trying to get ready for winter all year round. It's like if only I lived in like the Game of Thrones world and like was one of those guys preparing. Winter's coming. I'd be like, oh, I've got like an 8-year winter to go. I'd best be ready. I've got the appetite of a Stark.
What was your guys, speaking of, we were talking about everyday sandwiches, did you guys have a standard like lunch sandwich in school?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah. I was very ham sandwich, just because it was easy. For a disgusting period, I had a lot of kielbasa sandwiches.
Ooh.
I kind of distinctly remember thinking more of the sandwiches I didn't like that I got for lunch. Because sometimes, like, there's nothing more disappointing than opening up that brown paper bag. And it's just like, oh, that sandwich again. And you're like, bummer.
I had a lot of, like, phases where I'd be, like, I'd be really into, like, roast beef for a while. And then I'd get really...
Oh, yeah.
And then I'd get really into, like, turkey for a while. Then I'd get really into ham for a while. But, like, I think roast beef was probably my biggest go-to. I like roast beef a lot, and I was doing roast beef with mayo or mustard, depending on where I, you know, lifestyle. But I never really had, like, that one sandwich all the time.
You know what I hated about the packed sandwich is the sogginess of the bread. And it took me years and years to figure out that if you're going to pack a sandwich like that, toast the bread.
Yes.
And then by the time you get to it, it's not crispy like toast is. But it's not soggy.
Right, create a base.
It's almost back to like square one. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had learned that lesson much earlier in life.
My mom used a hard roll, and I was happy about that. That's the thing. It's like that, I could never go back to. I think you've got a great point. The packed sandwich ruined regular bread for me because I associated, like, you know, even like a fresh sandwich on like sliced bread is fine, but like it just reminded me too much of that, like, soggy and often like cold, like, the because it would, like, you know, like, the not only was the bread would like just take on whatever, like, the refrigerated meat would like permeate into it, especially if you had some foil around that, all of a sudden you've got like this like freezing cold, like preserved cold sandwich, and it was just like okay. How about you, Kat, did you have a regular that your mother would pack for you, or did you make your own sandwiches like a grown-up?
No, I did not. I was definitely not like a grown up at all.
Back to our toy episode where we're spoiled shits, our G.I. Joe episode. Yeah. Like, Mom, this meal that you made for me isn't exactly to my liking. If I had a problem with it, I could figure out a way to like put bread and like combine that with like slices of meat somehow, but I'm not going to do that. So I'm just going to complain.
Yeah. No, but I was such a creature of habit that it seriously, I probably didn't have like cold cut sandwiches in my lunch until high school. I ate a peanut butter and honey sandwich for 8 years. Like, I know that there must have been like some other random, like I would get like a cheese sandwich every once in a while, but I'm going to say there was a peanut butter and honey because I didn't like jelly. I was a little brat and I was like,
I didn't like jelly either.
Gross. No way. That was something where the jelly did not go well with the soft bread that's not toasted. But like,
no, that's the ruiner. That's why PBJ is the worst sandwich to pack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I love a fresh PBJ on like nice whole wheat bread right out of the bag is awesome.
That's like a snack. But I still eat peanut butter jellies like 5 times a week probably.
It's such a good snack. Like I put it up there with like cereal as like, hey, I need a filler meal right now. Oh, PBJ. Yeah.
I don't like jelly that much. I've grown to like it more. Like, it's another thing I've grown appreciation for. And I started to really like marmalade, and I like jelly now. On like, if I go to the diner, I'll put some jelly on a like on side of toast or whatever. But I didn't like jelly on I didn't like the PBJ, and I think it was because of the ruined sandwich. But I went with the honey, and the honey ruined a few sandwiches too. You ever get like that, like, somehow you'd open up the peanut butter honey and like the honey all like pooled on one side and like mashed, like all became this like massive, like super sweet, like saturated stickiness on like one side of your sandwich. And you're like, damn it.
That has happened. Yes.
I know that. I was a peanut butter and honey man myself. I thought that made me a weirdo, but I was okay with it.
A shout out to all our moms who made those sandwiches for many years. A power that I abuse too much, and I will not stop abusing, is anytime I want a sandwich and I ask my mom to do it, she will do it. She will drop everything
like,
to make
I
a sandwich.
I make sandwiches all the time by myself, but if I'm home, I become like incapable of making sandwiches. I'm a shit. And I'll be like waiting for my mom to return from like the store to like make me a sandwich because I, quote, prefer the way she does it. And that's not
exactly,
it's not even like I'm,
it tastes better.
It's not a quote. I actually do prefer it. I think it's a better quality sandwich. Hands down.
She's got years of experience, so like I defer to that.
Yeah,
I have to fight to make my own sandwiches when I'm at my mom's house. I'll let her, but like
trying to give you a ham sandwich all the time.
No, she's my mom.
Ket, you could pass those sandwiches on to me and Scott if you don't want them.
It wouldn't be the first time I like pass off snacks that I had disdain for my mom's snacks. Like many a D&D game would be like, Jesus, Mom, you're bringing out all these treats in the middle of this adventure that I've planned, and then
that
like
is the best. That is, here's the thing, the person who's fed me most in my life. It's probably like somewhere tied between my wife and my mother, in terms of like preparing meals for me. But like, easily number three is your mom, and that is just concentrated into the course of like a 7 year period, like for like all of high school and like, you know, and periodically in college even, where I'd be like, your mom would just bring like full meal sized like entree level amounts of food every like 5 to 7 minutes over the course of like, your refrigerator is not that big, where is this shit coming from, like how many bagel bites do you have? The answer is all of them. And then the answer, following answer, was I had all of them because I was too rude to like not eat the food. That's my story now. I'm just sticking with it. Like, you just be like, well, she did bring more food, I best eat.
It's like, did she have this hangout catered by any chance?
Know. There's a chafing dish. There are people with bow ties. I don't know.
There's sternos being lit up in
the
kitchen.
Fun yet? Yes, we are. And I would just like, if she just brought all this hot food and like everyone else, because
there's no room
like,
on the table for it.
Eating it.
It was like, so I would just sandwiches eat, like, and like snacks and then like little miniatures of like D&D characters. Yeah. Many dice.
And then it just got harder and harder because as everyone else would stop eating the food because they'd be like, I'm full, that just meant like there was like a larger percentage of the remaining food that I had to eat to like keep your mom from feeling insulted. So it's like went from me eating like 2 out of 8 bagel bites to like me eating like 7 out of like 10 of those like little like crispy, like kind of little egg rolly type things.
Oh yeah. I know what you're talking about. Hey, that just reminded me of something. Speaking of bagels, what about the bagel sandwich? This is something that I miss all the time.
Oh, good call.
Granted, a bagel sandwich could be really simple. Like, I generally am just getting like tofu spread, but it's nothing like, you can't get that shit anywhere like you can in New York. Like, if you get a bagel with tofutti in New York, it's like this much cream cheese, like a fucking inch of it, like inch and a half of cream cheese, and like the most delicious toasted bagel.
That was Kettner's move to get two bagels, only one had cream cheese, and then take the excess cream cheese and make two cream cheese sandwiches.
That's a pro move right there.
That's how you crime think that shit.
Yeah, that's a good one. Here's the thing. I like cream cheese all right. For a bagel sandwich, I'm a big peanut butter fan. Like, ooh, peanut butter alone. Like, I think that's like, it's a lot. You need a very good sized Coke or Pepsi beverage, because you need something to cut that's a lot of bread, and that's a lot of crunchy peanut butter. That's a ton of chewy, and it'll gum up the works. You need to keep that well lubricated with a nice root beer, perhaps. I'd recommend, but I like that a lot. Or there's an Essa bagel right near my work. They have a really good like smoked tuna spread. I recommend it. I definitely feel like that's a way to go. And that's a sandwich, but the bagel's always like the less complicated, the better. Do you guys ever just make like regular sandwiches using bagels?
Not often enough. Certainly not often enough.
Is the hole the deterrent?
No, I just think the sort of maybe the access to the bagels is like, if I'm going to buy a bagel, it's usually just to eat the bagel. And I never think to sandwichify it, if that's a word we could invent.
Weaponize that sandwich.
Yeah, weaponize
we're
that bagel.
The rules.
A PBJ on a bagel is pretty good.
Yeah, it's great.
That's a good one. Again, good for a breakfast sandwich too.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I've had a turkey sandwich on like a sesame bagel.
Ooh,
that's a pretty good one.
I went to a restaurant. I can't remember the name of it. My friend of the show, Ren, recommended it. It is a burger, which are burgers considered sandwiches? We'll come back to that. I jumped the gun.
Whoa!
Let's get into it. But hey, it was a burger where the bread was two glazed donuts.
Oh, a Luther burger.
Yeah. And I put a fried egg in there too.
Named it Luther Vandross used to eat those, and that's why they're called Luther burgers.
That's excellent.
I think I did know that. I think I knew that, and then forgot that, and you've just reminded me of that. So that is something. Luther Vandross, by the way, is no longer with us.
No, and like there might be a causality to that.
Yeah, he's a deceased man, and I'm like right behind him.
Guys, I think we have a musical choice for our intro and outro. Thanks, Luther.
in honor, my father again.
But this crazy like donut burger, the Luther. Okay, so this is bringing up a whole other thing that I wanted to get into. Have you guys ever invented a sandwich? Have you guys ever like made like a weird sandwich hack that you feel is unique? Because I had a phase when we were at the start of the show, we were talking about sandwich nerds. Like, I'm not a sandwich nerd in like the foodie way where I am a connoisseur of fine sandwiches, but I have been a sandwich inventor, and I've come up with some odd choices.
Lay them on us.
How about you guys?
Lay them on us.
I offered a grant by a man wearing question marks on a suit because of your invention.
No, but that was definitely a dream that I wanted to live for a time. For a time in Philly, this started in Philly, I would say. Basically, like, me and my like large group of mostly sober / straight edge friends would frequent a pub, the pub on Passyunk East. It was like our regular hangout spot. And we'd go with our friend Monica, who was like the only one among us usually who was drinking alcohol. But we would go and hang out for hours and hours and hours. But we would order the small menu of vegan foodstuffs and think of other ways to combine them, and which led to like macaroni / like tofu, buffalo tofu sandwiches, like very, very odd picks. And me and my friend John would spend a long time. We basically made like a menu. We created a menu, and then we started thinking about having food parties where we would lay these very odd sandwich creations and other food creations on the neighborhood. And it was a pretty fun time. One of the things that I was a big advocate of, and I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but I'm a big fan. The spaghetti sandwich.
Ooh.
Spaghetti sandwich.
Oh, starch. It's like throw some french fries in there and you've got yourself like
all the starches.
Yes, every starch.
Right.
Like some
right.
couscous, like, maybe some wheat berry too, or I don't know.
Well, I showed my hand early. I like the french fries. It's totally fair, but I will say that my two favorite sandwich creations, and I'm not going to say I invented the spaghetti sandwich, but I'm sure other people have done it. But when you have like leftover spaghetti.
That's big of right? you not to make that bold claim. I won't say I invented the spaghetti sandwich.
But anyway, so you have the leftover spaghetti. Because like, if you're like me, when you were a poor 20-something, you would just make like a box of spaghetti and then just have leftover spaghetti in like a Tupperware. I would take my leftover spaghetti with usually like soy-based meatballs like in the mix, and I would pan fry it, and I would prepare a roll of like garlic bread, like, you know, good, like a nice garlic bread, right? And then you just make a like a spaghetti sandwich on there. So it's a little bit like a meatball sub, but with spaghetti. It's excellent. On garlic bread, it's pretty crucial. The other sandwich that I was trying to get on a menu of an established restaurant in Philadelphia, like I wanted to say this named after me because it was my regular order, and it was at Blackbird Pizzeria, which was like a punk-owned pizzeria at the former spot where John would probably remember Gianna's in Center City. Mm-hmm. But what I used to do is I would get two slices of the vegan pizza, usually just plain, maybe like a vegan pepperoni slice, and an order of french fries. And then you just make a fucking sandwich. You put a layer of french fries in between two slices of pizza.
You are sandwich stretching. Hack. You're playing with dangerous powers, sir.
If you can use donuts as bread, you could use pizza slices as bread because pizza
I know,
is bread.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying you're a mad genius and I'm into it. I mean, I make myself pizza sandwiches just by doing the New York fold when you eat that thing. So we're already living in that kind of world. So just put some fries in the middle. It's interesting.
So should this bring us to sort of the big part of this episode, which is what makes a sandwich? Like, yes. Is this a sandwich or not? Yes. And this is a pretty hot debate in the past year or so.
Hot takes. This might be some big. There might be disagreement.
Hot takes, but hot dogs.
Yeah, there you go. So I mean that's the one. The big question.
The Katie Nolan garbage time question. You know, is a hot dog a sandwich? So, many people say no, and many people say yes. The question is, what are the rules you're using to make a sandwich? I would say no, and I'll tell you why.
Shoot.
I don't consider hot dog buns to be bread enough.
Oh, they're bread enough.
I have to say they're bread enough. I like to have a really open mind about the sandwich community. Like, okay. Everyone's welcome. Like, if you're two things with something in the middle, you could almost most of the time be a sandwich.
So is a burrito a sandwich?
Yes.
Okay, because it's bread surrounding meat. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like a wrap is close. Now, again, I'm putting these on the far end of the spectrum.
Okay.
You know, they're not, you know, these are sandwich pretenders, obviously. Like,
okay.
You know, often when presented with some of these things, you're probably going to say, like, nah, probably not for me today. But I'm willing to put them to open that door to invite them in to the sandwich world.
Yeah, you know guys, what? I'm looking at the hot dog Wikipedia page right now, and yeah, the word Frankfurter, it has very common origins with hamburgers. So
you're bringing me back. You know why? Because I think about the gateway, like the cousin to the hot dog is the Italian sausage sandwich, and then mm-hmm. you're just a slight bread choice away. There's something about the bun not coming around. It's like it's that three-sided thing. It's not two sides like breads. It's not wrapped around completely. I can't get it. It's like sitting on a bed of hot dogness.
But you do is it the easy? Down. Is it the easiness of it? Where yeah. I think the hot dog might be. I mean, other than the cooking of the hot dog part, it's basically the easiest sandwich you might be able to put together.
Yeah, you know what? You're right, because I totally take it back. I just something about it like feels like a totally different experience. But like, it's really just a modified sausage sandwich on a specific bread.
Yeah.
So
Scott, I think you just have a mental block about it, and I encourage you to work through it.
I'm working. Well, that's what we're doing right now. This is like a therapy session. So I'm back. Hot dog is, and it uses similar sandwich condiments. Because only a monster would put ketchup on a hot dog.
Did
whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, ketchup can go on hot dogs.
Yeah, if you're like a 4-year-old.
Well, what if you mix the mustard and the ketchup? That's a good
maybe. I know it's on the commercials and stuff. I'm just saying
that's a good scene, man.
I'm just saying maybe it's my Germanic qualities where I'm like I want kraut and mustard on my hot dog.
That's right. What other things do your Germanic qualities demand of people, Scott Brown?
Hey, I just told you about all my sandwich choices. It's clearly
not me. Oh, I don't know
why are you so anti-pastrami?
Did you guys
it's salty.
Ever at a barbecue? This is something I did when I was a kid, speaking of being 5 years old, but I wanted to I guess I always had it in me to be a sort of sandwich mad scientist, but I remember one time making a burger patty.
You say so yourself.
I made a burger patty to fit a hot dog bun. I made a long shaped hamburger patty and made like a cheeseburger that was, yeah, to fit a hot dog bun. I remember it being delicious. I was probably like 10 or something.
Hey, malleable meats. There's a whole sort of way we can go with that.
So then obviously a hamburger is a sandwich.
Sure.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that's what from Popeye, you know, like, oh, hamburger sandwich. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Is a taco a sandwich?
I mean, if a burrito is...
Yeah, it's a... But, like...
If a burrito is and a hot dog is... It's got like, you know, it's even a one fold.
Can it be split between hard shell and soft shell?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I feel like soft shell skews more sandwich and hard shell does not.
Mm.
But that's just getting mad that, like, it's still bread. If the old, they're the same, it's the same thing, just treated differently. It's you know, it's like it's fried hard instead of left soft, but it's the same thing. You're just saying based on the fact that the quality of the bread becomes no longer bread and becomes a chip, and a chip is not bread. I give you that.
A chip is not bread.
Yeah. So if a chip's not bread, it's like, well, you know, something isn't something until you heat it. Like, you know, cooked fish isn't sushi. That's just a temperature choice. It becomes you turn your bread and you make it into.
You're not the same. You're changed.
You're changed. That's right.
Wow.
I like that that's like a reference that gets continual callbacks.
Yeah. Speaking of movie references, Ket, you brought up a good question earlier. Oh. What's our all-time favorite movie sandwich?
Sandwich is featured in a movie. I just had a very specific one, and I almost tried to do the segue into it earlier when you guys brought up St. Patrick's Day. As St. Patrick's Day is featured prominently in the film The Fugitive.
Yes.
And in the film The Fugitive, these mookie Chicago cops are interviewing this degenerate who for a short time housed Dr. Richard Kimball, the doctor on the run. And they ask him, are you telling me that Richard Kimball was in the place above your mom's house? And he's like, that's what I'm telling you. And then proceeds prolonged take of this disgusting actor taking a giant bite of a sandwich. Just like... savoring it, and the camera like lingers on him for a good 7 seconds before cutting. it is hilarious.
You know what? That 7 seconds is probably like 3/4 of a second in reality. But
it lasted a lifetime with you.
Seriously, if that's the sandwich you go to, that's a good call.
That's what I thought about. Like, never have I seen like a film love a sandwich more.
It's funny, I really struggled because I'm trying to think of great sandwiches in film history, and then something came to mind, and it's a topic we might be talking about soon. In the film Pee-wee's Big Adventure, mm-hmm. towards the end, where they're screaming the movie of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Pee-wee meets up with ex-con Mickey. And Mickey is there, I guess, he's gotten special dispensation from prison to come see the premiere of this movie. Pee-wee is delivering food to everyone there, and he gives Mickey 1 foot long. And the security guard says, wait a minute, I need to see that, and pulls out a giant knife or blade from the foot-long sandwich. And it's kind of just like, everyone's like, oh, good try. And like Pee-wee just kind of goes along with his business. Like Pee-wee tried to break a criminal out.
Yeah, he could go to
prison. Yeah, he could go to prison for that. But it was just kind of like, eh, good try.
I thought it was a file. It was a file.
It might have been a file, yeah.
It's a very big file. It's the biggest file I've ever fucking seen.
I think he was like hoping he would, like, Nicky wasn't going to like stab his way out of prison, because that's kind of a dark take.
It'd be a very dark take. I think it was more for just escaping his confines.
Possibly. I'm going to go with a TV sandwich because I didn't have enough time to prepare. And you're right, I can't think of a big movie one. But I think my favorite sandwich is Homer Simpson, Duffland, where he has like a foot long, like a 6 foot sub that he refuses to throw out. And it eventually he keeps eating it and it's making him sick. It's like turned black and green and has like mushrooms growing off of it.
Scott, even though it's a cartoon, I get sick when that part comes on. It like sickens me to my stomach and I can't watch
it. And he's like sick to his stomach and the kids are driving away and he goes to reach for the sandwich again. And he's like, oh, stupid sandwich. And he goes, oh, I can't stay mad at you, and tries to eat it again till it's knocked out of his hand by Marge. He wants to continue eating that disgusting sandwich. It is wonderful. Like, Homer's, like, cradling it like a child. It's so good.
I think this is going to keep our eyes open for more sandwiches in film and TV now. I think we're going to see them everywhere.
Yeah. speaking of film and TV, what do we got next week?
Ooh, what do we have next week? Oh, we're going to have a little Netflix show that you might know as The Daredevil.
Yeah, we're going back to Hell's Kitchen.
And we're gonna see the fucking Punisher.
The fucking Psycho Punisher.
And the Elektra. And it's looking cool. There's some previews out. We've been pleased with, I think, what we've seen. And I think we're expecting nothing but the best from this series.
I've got high hopes for this. I hope it doesn't disappoint. And I don't think it will. I think it's going to be good.
And as an added feature, I think what we should do, speaking of monitoring sandwich activity, is, you know, sandwiches are going to be essential to tide us over as we marathon watch an entire season of Daredevil. So maybe you guys let me know what sandwiches you consume during your Daredevil watching.
I'll let you know. Mm-hmm. We'll keep track of those sandwiches this week. On our Facebook page, maybe we can start posting some sandwich-related goodness, and you guys can talk about the sandwich points we obviously missed. Do you say gyro or gyro? You tell us. We'll get into it.
I just can't believe we've gotten through an hour of sandwich talk. I'm so proud of us.
I think I can keep going. I feel like we just
for this. Surface. This was for the listeners out there. This was meant to be a joke, an absolute joke, but it has turned into something so much bigger and better.
Save it for the pizza episode.
Ooh.
That's interesting. That's right. Okay, guys. Well, we'll talk later. We'll see you in Hell's Kitchen.
See you in hell, Candy Boy.
Goodbye, Parker.
It's back!
It's been a while. Bruno Wong, that's never coming back.